The time is now 5:32. I want to welcome everybody to our city council meeting tonight, and I want to thank you all for being here. All of our guests, city council, all of our city staff, thank you so much for being here this evening. I will open up the meeting at 5:33 p.m. A couple of introductions that I'd like to make before we get started tonight. The first one, over here on my left, we have newly recognized interim city manager, Mr. Adam Nylett, sitting next to me. So I'll take a good step in. Mr. Nylett will begin his official duties April 1st, but he is filling in today as we just get him acclimated to city council life. So welcome, sir. Good to have you.
And, thank you, Mayor and Council. Appreciate it.
And we're excited to have you tonight at the seat. The other individual I'd like to introduce is Mr. Grant over here from Haley Wilson. Yep. Mr. Grant is filling in for David Shaw tonight as our general counsel. So thank you for being here, Mr. Grant.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay, our first item on the agenda is our invocation. And Mr. Russell, would you mind leading us?
I don't have much voice. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Can I do the next one?
Sure. I'll pass it over to Councilman.
I'll grab it.
Ava. Thank you so much.
Lord, Lord, we pause to give thanks for the wonderful city in which we live and for the positive work of our staff, and especially for the presence of our new city manager. For all of this, we do most profoundly give thanks. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Avant. Next, if you're able, please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you so much. Okay, moving on to item number three. This is our public comment time. The City Council invites citizens to address the Council on any matter, including items on the agenda, except public hearings that are included on the agenda. Comments related to public hearings will be heard when the specific hearing starts. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes per resolution R-87-11. The countdown clock will actually be on the screen behind you, so I'll also be monitoring the time, but just wanted to let you know we're switching it up tonight. It's just for tonight, the countdown timer will be behind you. Council is not permitted to take any action or discuss any item that's not listed on the agenda. When you're called to speak, please state your name and your address. And if you're speaking on a specific agenda item, please state that item before beginning your comments. Thank you for your understanding and your cooperation. I'd like to open the floor at this time. Is there anybody who'd like to address council? Okay, there being none, I will close the public comment section. Thank you very much. Didn't even need the countdown timer. How about that?
Perfect.
Okay, moving on to item number four, our first of our presentations tonight. This is the presentation of the Government Finance Officers Association Distinguished Budget Presentation Award. Mr. Nylett, do you have any comments on this?
Thank you, Mayor. Yeah, just to open it up. So every year we our finances are subject to an audit. This organization holds our, it goes a bit further. So it's held to a little higher standard. And it's a great accomplishment that we've received this, and in our 29th year to receive it for the city of Woodway. So we're finances are in good hands. Thank you, Brenda.
That's great. Well, I have a little press release here that I'm going to read from the Government Finance Officers Association, and this is in recognition of Brenda's hard work on the finance. As our finance director. So I'm just going to read this for everyone, and then we're going to do something special here in a second. The Government Finance Officers Association is pleased to announce that the City of Woodway, Texas, received the GFOA, that stands for Government Finance Officers Association, Distinguished Budget Presentation Award for its budget. This award represents a significant achievement by the entity. It reflects the commitment of the governing body and staff to meeting the highest principles of governmental budgeting. In order to receive the budget award, the entity had to satisfy nationally recognized guidelines for effective budget presentation. These guidelines are designed to assess how well an entity's budget serves as a policy document, a financial plan, an operations guide, and a communications device. Budget documents must be rated proficient in all four categories and in the 14 mandatory criteria within those categories to receive this award. There are over 1,700 participants in the Budget Awards Program. The most recent budget award recipients, along with their corresponding budget documents, are posted quarterly on the GFOA's website. Award recipients have pioneered efforts to improve the quality of budgeting and provide an excellent example for other governments throughout North America. Woodway is receiving this for the 29th consecutive year. So let's give it up for Linda. Come on up here. Congratulations. And Council, I am giving Brenda here the actual certificate award for the budget award that we're receiving.
It's amazing.
So this is the actual award here. So congratulations, Brenda.
Thank you.
Awesome. We would lose our budget award if we did that. Oh, okay, thank you. I'll get this here. Could you pass this down to Brenda, please? Thank you. All right, thank you very much, and congratulations to Brenda and to the entire City of Woodway for the 29th consecutive year. Well done. Okay, the next presentation that we have tonight is the presentation on retiring K-9 Shaka from the Woodway Public Safety Department. So I'm going to hand this over to Chief, and Chief, this is another fun one.
Yes, good stuff happening. City Manager, Mayor, Council, thank you for the opportunity to speak. If I can get Corporal Hilliard and K-9 Shaka to come up here for this special event. If she sits and sniffs you, that's not a good thing. We're going to keep her away from a few people. But she's such a good girl, and we just want to take a moment to honor her and just tell you all a little bit about her accomplishments with this city and with her previous department as well. Next slide, please. So these are all the departments that K-9 Shaka has assisted with. 325 total searches. Whether Hewitt, DPS calls on her too. She's known in this area as being a very reliable canine, and she's really, really a pride of Woodway. And I want to hand over the rest of this presentation to Corporal Hilliard. He's the canine handler, and this is his expertise, so I'm going to let him take over. Next slide, Ms. Barker.
Thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak with you all about my partner. We've been together for a long time, about 7 years. She's been a hardworking dog. I'm very fortunate that Woodway has given me the opportunity to continue working with her, even whenever we came from a department prior. Some of her statistics that I'd like to show y'all and the effort that she puts in is divided up here under Section A, 360 different environments. So those are types of environments that she has searched, be it cars, lockers, bags, rooms. As far as indications from those, 214 with 355 seizures. So oftentimes whenever she does deploy, we find multiple things and not just one. And then that ultimately leading to 126 total arrests as well. Next slide. Some of the seizures that we've had, these photos that I have up here, are actually all seizures that Canine Shaka has found, everything from heroin, methamphetamine, ecstasy, to marijuana, majority of which being over 1,570 grams of marijuana, along with 769 grams of THC and edibles, good bit of meth, a lot of meth, prescription medications, and ecstasy. Wanted to show some of the additional shots of some of the other seizures that we have as well. Again, these are all seizures that we wouldn't have been able to address had we not had Canine Shaka there to give us probable cause to begin the search. And then I'd like to shortly end with some fun photos that we've had through the years. Many of you know that she was injured by a rattlesnake a while back. The top photo on the left is our first week back at work from her recovery. There she is deploying in locker rooms, her with her best friend, my Great Dane. And they get along really well. Her first experience was snow. We made a snowman for her. She's a wonderful dog, a wonderful partner, and it's going to be hard not having her in the vehicle next to me like she's been for the last 7 years.
Don't go too far. We want the mayor and the city manager up here to present y'all with a couple of things, if you don't mind. So the legislators passed a law in September that allows the departments to actually retire the canine to the canine handler when their length of service is done. So what is the first thing you said she's going to have tonight?
A steak.
So this is from the city to you and to Shaka.
Wow. Thank you. Right. I'm going to read it for this. All right, Canine Shaka, for 7 years of service, handled by Corporal Josh Hilliard. This is in recognition of your faithful service and dedication to the people of the city of Woodway, Woodway Public Safety, and Corporal Joshua Hilliard. We wish you all the best in your retirement.
And Corporal, also on behalf of the mayor, council, and city staff, as a
retirement. Okay, that was
from your other canine handler, Corporal Miller. This is for her, not for you. Oh, there it is. We also have another canine handler, Corporal Miller. If you mind raising your hand. So canine Don will be servicing the city still, so we'll always have a canine out there. Thank you, Josh. Congratulations. Yay!
That was a lot of fun. All right. Well, that was great. Thank you so much for that, Chief and Corporal Hilliard and Canine Shaka. Thank you for your service. All right, moving on to item number 6, staff preparations for the 24 solar eclipse. Mr. Manager, is Chief taking this?
He is presenting.
All right, go ahead, Chief. Thank you.
All right, yes, thank you again for having me up here. April 8th, 2024, I'm sure y'all have heard, is total solar eclipse coming to our city. So we wanted to give an opportunity to let you know the most recent up-to-date information on that eclipse, as well as what the city is doing to prepare for it. Next slide, please. So this is kind of a trail of it. Before entering the U.S., the total eclipse will travel over northern parts of northern Mexico, then pass into Texas, cross portions of the Midwest and East Coast, touch southeast Canada, and then proceed out to sea. Next slide, please. There is a visual of how it is going to look in a northeastern fashion. Next slide, please. And Waco is actually the sixth best place in the world to view this total solar eclipse, which is why we have garnered so much attention these last few months. So we're going to have a 4-minute and 13-second total eclipse. That is a long time to be in complete darkness. Next slide, please. So kind of more information. The most up-to-date information we have is the partial eclipse is going to begin at 12:20 p.m. The total eclipse begins at 1:38 p.m. for 4 minutes and 13 seconds, and then eventually it's going to end at 3 p.m. Next slide, please. So what do we know so far? There's a good reason we're talking about this. It's primarily because of the impact it's going to have on our city. There's a lot of events going on for the solar eclipse party, watch party. We expect around 100,000 extra people in McLennan County. This is based on hotel vacancies right now. I think they're about 92% full across the county. We were expecting up to 250, up to 1 million people, but due to hotel vacancy rates still being available and tickets sold to big events like the Baylor event that's coming up at McLean Stadium, the Texas Department of Emergency Management for McLennan County, this region, has lowered the amount to around 100,000 extra people. Some things that TxDOT is doing to assist us, primarily around the stadium and on I-35, they're not permitting any construction or lane closures on the day of the eclipse, so it's going to be open as much as they can. A little known fact about this event, it's the single biggest mass travel event in the USA. 32 million people living within the USA section of the path. So that a lot of people have the potential to get here just by driving, because you're right by Houston, you're right by these really heavily populated areas. Next slide, please. So I show you that to show you this. This is where our mind goes initially when we see this, and what are we going to do as a public safety department to ensure that police, fire, and rescue and medical services are not interrupted? So that's where our mind goes, and if this happens, this is why we are showing you this. So the sky is not falling. It will be fine. We will be okay. We have plans set up, but this is why we're doing this presentation, just in case, so you know that we're prepared and we are taking precautions. Next slide, please. So that was a 2017 eclipse. This is the 2024 eclipse. Some events that are going on in our over there in our parks is a total solar eclipse on the day of. I know that McLean Stadium is having that eclipse event, and then Hewitt is having a weekend eclipse, pre-solar eclipse event. Next slide, please. So what to expect for us? Potentially heavy traffic on 84, Estates and Bosque. Those are the main roads that we are watching. Every open space filled with people and vehicles. Full parks, hotels and restaurants being full, run on grocery stores, no big deal. Attempted large, just gonna gloss over that one. No, we'll go over that in a second, and what we've done to take precautions on that one. Attempted large camp set up at the parks, and a possible bottlenecking of Estates drive towards the park. Our parks are our main areas of concern because that's where people are naturally going to Google and see we have a free park and try to get there. Next slide, please. So Woodway preparations, we've created very large signs that say no overnight parking at Woodway parks, and we're going to place those strategically on the way to the park and in front of the park entrances so individuals know they can't bring their campers. Our issue isn't necessarily the day of, our issue is also the weekend before, because this happens to land on a Monday. So people may come on a Saturday and try to camp out and enjoy their time, which is great. However, we don't allow overnight parking at our Woodway parks. This will be reflected all the way leading up to April 8th. The weekend before, extra officers are going to be assigned specifically to Estates and Bosque to ensure that there's no bottleneck or issues of people attempting to make entry to the park overnight, and also give an updated information if a line forms away in the park to open and more units are needed. So what we don't want is to show up Monday morning and have a bottleneck of vehicles all the way down Estates, all the way down Bosque to Highway 6. That's what we're trying to prevent. So we're going to have an officer specifically designated to patrol that area and ensure that there's not a huge line of RVs coming our way. Next slide, please. So Woodway preparations, all command staff, detectives, community resource officers, training sergeants, school resource officers, everybody has been ordered to be in uniform and at the ready on that date. We'll have officers at the city event at the park monitoring and advising that the parks needs to be closed due to severe overcrowding and parking. Not necessarily the event, just individuals entering into it. Over a dozen officers will be out and stationed at specific areas. Obviously, can't go into that too specifically, but I'm happy to speak with you all in private about that. In the city to assist with traffic control and ensure no interruption of service for our residents. Officers will also be stationed at the fire base specifically to operate fire trucks for fire calls, just in case we need a quick reaction. We don't have to worry about anyone having to come back to the PD or anything like that in heavy traffic. Also, we'll assist in traffic control and things like that that may arise. Next slide, please. So, we are in partnership with a local tow company, which is on standby and assists in moving vehicles that may be abandoned if the highway gets wild and there are individuals who just leave their cars because they've been waiting a minute. We have bottled water at the ready to assist in the care of drivers and community members awaiting the opportunity to leave. We'll have gas cans full and ready to assist stalled drivers. And this is the part, we had a meeting involving HEB and they advised they're going to stock up extra leading up to April 8th, just in case we have a potential uptick in visitors. Next slide, please. So all that to say, the station of our officers are going to be specific to where they can overtake the stoplights and manually take them over and start funneling people out of our city, whether it's going down Bosque to turn right on Estates to get them out or coming up Estates, turn right on Bosque to get them towards Highway 6. Our main goal is to ensure that the services that's provided to our civilians and our citizens is not interrupted. So, any questions?
Are we planning to have events in all the parks or just Lakeside?
Yes, sir. Just Lakeside for Woodway. Okay. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if we take a question or two from
the guests? Of course, my goodness. Yes.
So the schools, are all the schools going to be closed that day?
Every Waco, Midway, everybody has closed. Okay. Even Woodway First Baptist.
Okay, and so I didn't hear his question, but my question was about, is there anything going on in all the parks, or are you guys just going to be monitoring all the parks and we're having the thing over at
exactly.
the Arboretum?
Yes, ma'am. So Park Road 2 Lakeside is the only thing there's actually an event, and then Park Road 1 and the beachfront, what we call it down there, is going to be open to individuals, which we're going to be monitoring, make sure that doesn't get bottlenecked, and we'll just start. Our goal is to close down Estates from Estates to the park if that happens so that we don't create a big bottleneck and we can just alleviate all that by getting people out.
Okay.
So that's kind of what we're thinking. As far as fiscal implications, all these individuals will be on duty, so there really won't be a fiscal implication as far as overtime or anything like that. These are officers who are CID detectives who are going to be stationed for that day to assist with patrol. So with a nod to that as well. Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Chief, just one quick question before I move on. Are all those preparations going to be in effect if it turns out to be a cloudy day?
Yes. So that's funny. They specifically went over that and they said, so I made a PowerPoint for the staff and I said, plan B is rain.
Right. Yeah.
But then I go to the meeting that night and they're like, there's no plan B. I'm like, that's ironic. I guess they didn't. They knew. I don't know. But yeah. They said, even if it is cloudy, it's going to be pitch black. So it's still something to be old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're on pitch black darkness for 4 minutes. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're into rocks in front of stars,
yeah.
That's great.
Okay, great. Interesting. I'm learning something new every day about this. All right, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
All right, Council, moving on to item number 7. We have Janelle with us, too, now. Janelle, can you hear us okay? Yes. Okay. Perfect. Moving on to item number. Okay. Great. Thank you, Councilwoman. Moving on to item number 7. This is discussion and consider action to approve a contract amendment with STV Incorporated, successor in interest by acquisition of CPNY Incorporated, for additional construction, administration, and resident project representative services for the Fairway Gravity Sewer Replacement Phase 3. In an amount not to exceed $170,000, and authorizing the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. May I have a motion to discuss, please?
So moved.
So moved? Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager, any comments?
Not at this time, Mayor. I'll wait for the presentation. If there's any questions I might clarify after the presentation, I'm happy to.
Okay. So, yes, sir.
Not at the moment.
If you wouldn't mind introducing yourself.
Yeah, sure. Scott Wetzel with STB.
I think you have a copy of the proposal, and basically what the proposal does is extend our services for construction administration and resident project representation out in the field to extend that length of that contract to better cover the contractor's progress on the project. We anticipated when we put this together that they would probably in realistic terms needed until December of 2024 to be able to complete the work that they're doing out there. The last agenda or the last schedule that we had from them stated that they had anticipated they'd be done in September, but based on their progress, we thought it was going to take a little longer. Just late last week, they did submit another schedule, and they're projecting that they will be done with punch list and everything by March 1st of 2025. So, and that's if they are able to stay on the schedule that they're projecting right now. So these services are an estimate of what might be necessary, because obviously it's a function of how many Saturdays they work, how many overtime hours they work, that type of thing. But because we are past the original substantial completion date, these services that we're proposing here would qualify for doing offsets by the city against what's owed to the contractor. Okay. So, you know, obviously those have to be looked at on a case-by-case basis, but in general that they do qualify. So,
okay.
And the total amount that we're proposing is an additional $36,000 for construction administration. So that's processing pay applications, directing staff, RFIs, change orders, that type of thing. And then an additional $134,550 for the RPR in the field to get to the end of the fiscal year, or to the end of the calendar year. So with that, I would open it up and try to address any questions that you might have.
These offsets are money that can be
taken off of their bill.
Yeah, so the way the contract works is by contract we're holding 5% of every pay application. Right now they're about 50% done with the project, so there's roughly a little over $250,000 in retainage. When they get to the complete end of the project, based on the project total bid amount, we'll have about $550,000 in retainage, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Okay.
And so that money will be held until all of the punch lists are done. Everything is to the satisfaction and generally meets the contract, the intent of the contract documents and the construction documents. So currently, let me see, currently with this addition and what you've approved previously for the extension of time that they've run past the substantial completion, we would be at about $337,000 with this one and the previous one. So that would still be under that $500,000 or $550,000 threshold.
Okay. Council, any questions for Scott? Mr. Manager, any other comments?
No, Mayor. Everything that I had note-wise is pretty well covered.
He covered it. Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Council. I'll entertain a motion on item number 7.
I move that we approve a contract amendment with STB.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. All opposed, please say nay. All right, the ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you all very much. Mrs. Gilman, I'll make sure to give you enough time to vote and not go too fast. So please feel free, if you want to say something too, just feel free to speak up.
All right, thank you.
All right, we're moving on to items 8 and 9 here. Item number 8 is discussion and consider action to request and or receive additional information or clarifications from KSA Engineers Incorporated and or Terracon, providers of professional services who responded to RFP 24-01 for the facility condition and assessment and cost analysis on the old Woodway Family Center. May I have a motion to discuss, please?
So moved.
So moved?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. Mr. Manager or Mr. Grant, who wants to start us off on this?
Well, thank you, Mayor and Council. At the last meeting, you'll recall that the Council requested, after legal consultation, requested additional information, and that comes in the form of an interview with both of these firms. The staff responded and arranged the interviews with the two firms, Terracon and KSA, both of whom are present, have representation here tonight. So for this item, the next step moving through this item and getting us to the next one would be to individually interview these firms and ask whatever questions that you might have of them to better help you in your scoring sheet. So we can flip a coin, or whoever wants to. I think Terracon got here first and plugged in, but whatever order we want to go in. Originally, this was slated to be an executive session. It turned out that this is the form. This is, had to be done in an open session. Mm-hmm. So when you're interviewing two people for the same job, it kind of... I had good dialogue with both firms, and whomever goes are going to step out of the room in the interest of fairness. But when we get to the scoring sheets, it's to avoid the secret ballot. Everyone's going to have to tally in real time and let the scores be known. I will pass those over to the city secretary and do the tabulation from there.
Okay. So just so I understand the progression, we're going to invite our candidates to come up. We're going to interview them. We're going to let them say a few things, and then we're going to score after they've interviewed.
Yes, Mayor. Correct.
And pass them down. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Does that make sense to everybody? Great. Is everybody okay if I ask Terracon to come first, since they were here first? Okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say we have additional score sheets in case and you messed one up. We've got some extras.
Okay. Great. Well, Terracon, good evening. If you'd like to come up here and introduce yourselves. And maybe it would be great if you could just start off by giving us just a very brief introduction.
Yeah. To ourselves. Okay. So I'm Kayla Maines. I'm the office manager in the Austin office, and Saeed Farugi here with me today is also with the Austin Facilities Group. And we had a slide presentation for this interview, but we skipped over providing any of the RFQ information you already have. It's just the two of us tonight. But if we go to the next slide, it's showing the leadership. For the team. So Saeed would be the senior project manager, and Richard Tim would be our quality assurance. So he would be reviewing documents. As a second pair of eyes, we have a quality process that Saeed will go through a little more in depth in further slides. And again, I'm Kayla Maines. I'm an architect, and I am the office manager for the facilities office. Richard is a licensed engineer, and Saeed has 30 years of experience in engineering, and he's been doing these facilities assessments and property assessments for that duration of his time. Mm-hmm. We can go to the next slide, please. So a little firm overview of Terracon. We are all over the United States with 175 offices. We have multiple offices within Texas alone. We're all over Central Texas. We have a Waco office, but it's more of our geotechnical materials teams that you might be more familiar with. We've assessed over 12,500 facilities with 6,000 sites, roughly. 345 million square feet have been assessed. and we were founded in 1965. So to give a little more background of what TerraCon is, and again, you might be more familiar with our geotechnical, our materials team, but we also have facilities and environmental. So facilities is where we're doing the building assessment. So we have expertise in building systems such as your wall assemblies, roofing assemblies, as well as your mechanical, plumbing, electrical systems as well. We can go to the next slide, please. So TerraCon takes great pride in our incident injury-free culture. We like everyone to go home safely, especially our employees. So we have systems in place that help us keep our employees safe, such as we have to do check-ins every periodically to make sure people are wearing the proper protective equipment. And Saeed and his team will work with you to understand what that equipment may be, access, safe access to your facilities. So we take that quite seriously. We go next slide. I'm going to turn it over to Saeed here. We're going to discuss a little bit about our approach to delivering a facilities assessment.
Thank you, Kayla. My name is Saeed Farooqi. I'm going to be the MEP, Mechanical, Electrical, Plumbing, and Life Safety Specialist for that project. And I also have some colleagues that they are expert with the building enclosures, roof, and all the other stuff that the building will have involved with. So we do the FCA, as Kayla mentioned. I've done over millions and millions of square footage throughout the whole U.S., mainly in Texas also. I've worked with a lot of cities, especially City of Dallas, City of McKinney, Plano, Austin, and other places in Texas. So we do FCA in, as you see, in the 7 stages. So the first stage, next slide, please. It's that we sending out the questionnaire to the City of Woodway to ask them some questions about the asset, the building, and then we start the kickoff meeting based on all the answers we get from you guys. And then we start preparing the team and collaborate the team members. So how are we gonna, you know, attend to the site and start the project? Next slide, please. And then we also call the City of Woodway and ask for more information. If y'all have any documents, any additional information for the building, any renovation, anything that they help us to expedite the process of the setting up the project. And then, next please. So at that time, we set up our program. We use this program, which is web-based, and so we set up our program and we walk the site and we interview the person who's most familiar with the building, because you are the people that lived in that place, or you know the building more, and we're gonna just spend a day or two in that building. So we will ask some questions and we get more information for the building. Next, please. And that's when we come into the site, the whole group, and we start doing our facility condition assessment, which we collect all the data for all the inventories of all the MEP, which is mechanical, plumbing, electrical equipment, building envelopes, building enclosures, roofs. Everything is involved with that asset. And we take as much as information we can get with the photos and field notes and all the data, and then we update all the data we have to that program. Please, next. So this is the program I'm talking about. It's called Paragon, which is web-based program. This project is based on one building, but we've done this 1 or 1,000 buildings, so we do the same thing if we have 1 building or 1,000 buildings. It's all consistent, and everything is going to look the same. And we rate all the inventories at 3 different levels: green, yellow, or red. Next, please. So after we get all the information from the building, We recommend if there's any inventories in the building that requires any attention, like a short term or long term, and that we call them work items. So we create all the work items for all the inventories, and we put a price in for those replacement or repair based on RS mean data, which we update that every year. And that's basically is done in the program. Next, please. And so with that said, we analyze the data we collect in the building, and we come up with immediate budget for the replacement or repair, or as we know in the RFQ, it's a capital improvement for 10 years, and we also can provide that budget for the multi-years, you know, short-term or long-term. Next, please. And this is the type of graphic you all going to receive from us for those long-term or short-term, you know, capital improvement for the building. Next, please. So this is what the program or the report at the end will look like. You will have the asset summary for the building. It will describe everything about that building, and also it will have pages of inventories with all the information and photographs, and it will tell you exactly each inventory will have age, rating, and some of the inventories will even have model number and serial number that it's already in the place. Next, please. And also, in the top of that, we provide all our inventories with the Excel spreadsheet that y'all can have it filtered or however you all want to look at it. And, you know, it will be helpful for the building that they can have that in hand. Next, please. And with that said, I will turn this to Kayla again. So she's going to describe what we do.
So how we deliver, it's an approach of three main elements, communication, expectation, and collaboration. So a lot of working with our clients with communication, establishing points of contacts, the questionnaire response that Saeed alluded to in stage one. The kickoff meeting would set the expectation with you all on what you're expecting from your building, what you're expecting from our report. Finalizing the schedule, letting you know when we're going to be on site, when you can expect documents, confirmation of scope as well. Collaboration, that's where you would be exchanging information with us, and we would be collaborating with you in the field with your person that's walking with us. We will be asking questions and that type of thing. So just that cycle of a continuous communication and understanding one another's expectations. Go to the next slide, please. Why Terracon? So we've done multiple thousands of assessments of these scale of this type. We have knowledge of this local area. We also have people on staff. We do not need subcontractors to help us with this work. We can do it ourselves in-house. We have subject matter experts that can help filter the data. That would be Bill, you saw in our he will be our data analysis member, and we have a cohesive assessment and project management experience, so you have the same team working on your project throughout the duration of your project. This is only one building, so it's not like the more complicated buildings that we could do where there's multiple, but typically we like to stick to one team with one project goal. Technology, we have technology that can help us gather the information you need and have it available easily for you. And we can go to the next slide, please. Quality assurance method. So it's constant communication with the client. We have first the client input, and we configure that into our software. Then there's the meetings with the team and getting them to understand the data that's available. There's real-time data being established. There's recalibration and data analysis. That would be Bill coming in doing that analysis. Then the PM reviews the report that's generated by the multiple people on the team. And then a third pair of eyes, the APR, will look that over, make sure it's ready to go. And back to the client for a draft to review, and then we get the final document to you. You can go to the next slide, please. So data integrity. The slide is just basically we collect the data and we take all the important information you need and put it into a document that can help you filter what you need to know, basically. So that's what this slide is showing you, is we collect all this data for you, we create the document, and then you can determine the things you really need to know based on what you're looking for in our assessments. We can go to the next slide, please. So value to meet objectives. Again, just to reiterate, we have professional staff within Terracon, no need for sub-consultants. We have the local presence, as you saw from our Texas map. We have software that can enable us to work quickly and collect information and share that with you quickly. And then we have quality. That's our APR, our reviewing of APR. I apologize, I haven't explained what that is, but that's an authorized project reviewer who comes in and looks at the project and makes sure that things are as they should be. But that's our quality process that we take great pride in implementing into our projects. And I believe that was the last slide. So thank you. If you have any questions.
Any questions?
Yeah. Might your assessment include consideration of cost and feasibility of installing solar collectors on the roof?
I don't think that was part of the RFQ proposal, but we can provide that.
Thank you.
Yes.
On our sheets that we're figuring up, it asks for lowest price proposal or respondent proposal. Do you have any type of dollars that this might cost? Rough ideas or something we can work with?
Oh, for this project?
Yes.
Oh, it wasn't part of the RFQ proposal?
It was.
That was the last meeting, the 18,000.
Yeah. Was this one the 18,000?
Yes. Yeah, yes. It was part of that.
Okay.
I think it was kind of close to
18,000. The other company did not. Right.
Yeah, and what was the proposed time frame for this?
I think it was over 4 weeks. Cool. 1 week for preparation, 1 week for site visit and collecting all the data. The third week will be for the QC quality control, and then the fourth will be to present that to the client and then have that, and then basically go over through the reports and if there's any, you know, repair or fixing.
Okay.
So 4 weeks was the time frame.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
So if you come up against something that was not part of the scope of service, while at the same time it's important for us to understand and know, how do you communicate that to us and how do you approach dealing with a situation like that?
Well, we definitely will have a list of contacts, the owners, clients, everybody's involved in the project. And if we even see anything when we're at the site, which is what are the life safety is for us. If we see anything that is outstanding for the building, we basically will recommend or talk to the contact, site contact first to let them know you have something here is a very big issue before even we go on. We let them know, and then also when we contact our project manager, which is I'm going to be the PM on that, and we send an email out. So we notify everybody is involved for that project.
Okay.
Yes.
I appreciate the collaborative nature that I'm hearing.
Yes. Like she said, I've been involved for over multiple projects, and I'm also involved with more than multiple projects throughout the whole U.S. I'm not back and forth everywhere, but this is local work, so we're...
So you have multiple projects going on at the same time?
Yes.
So...
Well, we do have people here that they're available, but I'm basically managing other projects somewhere else with the local people.
How much time will you be on this project yourself?
Full-time.
Full-time, but you have multiple projects. So.
Well, I know, but I have people that they work in there that I'm managing remotely, so I can manage them here also.
Okay.
We do have people here that they can take care of this, so.
Okay.
That's what she said. We're over 6,500 employees in Terracon, so.
So for the listeners, define full-time as you would see full-time in a construction project like this.
Full-time, it will be 40 hours a week. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. But you won't be here 40 hours. There'll be other people.
For the data collections, I won't be here.
Because, you will?
Yes, because I have two colleagues that their expertise are in the building enclosures and roof and pavement and site, and I'm going to be the one doing all the equipment for mechanical, plumbing, and electrical and life safeties.
So one of the 4 weeks, you'll be here for 40 hours.
Correct.
Okay.
And then the other will be managing other people.
Exactly.
Okay.
I believe Saeed understands the nature to which things need to be executed quickly. And so we've already, in our staff meetings, we've already accounted for this coming down the pipeline, and we're waiting to see exactly where it falls, but we know it's coming. And
mm-hmm.
And so.
Any other questions for Terracon? Mrs. Gilman, any questions for Terracon? Okay.
I think you addressed incredibly well what we asked for in our, So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Terracon. But before you go, I did have one question. How familiar are you with ADA compliance and ADA needs?
We are familiar with ADA. Actually, Kayla is one of our expertise for ADA for architectural, and also ADA for, the restrooms and other stuff that ADA need to be compliant with the building. So yeah, we do have expertise on that.
Yes.
And that
you've
side.
Done projects on that before.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you. That's all we had.
No problem.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would you like a minute to score, or?
Oh, but.
Would you like a minute to score? Or do you want to wait till the second?
Well, I kind of want to see the other one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Put them side by side and score.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. Okay. Are the KSA folks in the hallway?
I think Sean's grabbing it.
Sean's grabbing it. Okay, perfect. Good evening, sir.
Evening.
I'd love for you to introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about KSA, and then go from there.
Okay, and I didn't know how it would go. You kind of mentioned it'd be up in the air. I do have a brief presentation if that would help for some more information. So.
That'd be great.
Is that the only thing on here?
There's a PDF version and PowerPoint in case one doesn't work. And she's getting that ready. The only thing I'd like to begin with is I didn't know I was going to be on the agenda with the retirement of a canine. So if I probably should negotiate a little better and postpone this, but, you know.
Tough act to follow.
Oh, yeah. But thank you for having us. If you want to just wait so I can run through it. This is very brief. You all received the RFQ qualification package before. This is just might be a little different, presented a different way. May catch your eye, have a different question or something. So, next slide. KSA is an engineering and architecture firm. These studies like this are what we do. We specialize in renovation projects as well as new construction. But as engineers and architects, we strongly believe in evaluating and keeping viable buildings still in service. Sometimes our reports suggest that maybe it's not the best thing, but more often than not, it is. And we believe in being very sustainable about that. Our company, like I said, it's an engineering and architecture firm. We have about 150 employees all across Texas, up into Oklahoma and into Louisiana. We offer all of our engineers are civil engineers. So as required for this team, we would have teaming consultants that would not be provided in-house, but it's firms that we've worked with many times in the past. Next slide. Geographically, you can see we cover the state of Texas pretty well, moving up in northern Oklahoma and in northwest Louisiana as well. Next. On our side for the engineering, wastewater, water treatment plants, parks, things like that, we also have a huge planning division. Some of the engineers focus on airports, things like that, master planning for airports. On the architecture side, we can find projects we both work on. Even we've done some wastewater treatment plants where we do all the buildings on the site with them as well. We also have a survey team as well. They survey across the state of Texas. Next slide. This is the president of our company. I put that in there because our company turned 45 this year. And in that whole time, we only had 3 presidents. So he's currently our 3rd president, working on his 8 years. It's really important. His name is Mitch Fortner. Been with the firm over 30 years like I have been. But it means a lot as being an employee to know that the company's taken care of. And it's a long process. They're trained. You just don't walk in and say, I'm going to be the president of KSA. You're involved, actively involved. And there's a board of directors that elects the president every single year. So even though he's a president now, he wouldn't not get voted in next year. But he's evaluated how he operates the company. And he's been reelected 8 consecutive years now. Next slide. This is myself. I'm the architecture team leader for KSA. You can see on there, I mentioned sustainability before. I am a lead AP, also Green Globes professional. And one thing I've added to help evaluate buildings and roofs, I'm a registered roof consultant. That's a specialized testing process to evaluate people, to review and understand existing roofs, what could be wrong with them, evaluate them for their integrity, and what needs to be done to make sure that they stay watertight. Next slide. As I mentioned, we have a large team. This project may sound really simplistic in thinking we're going to evaluate is in a building and how to make sure it's viable for its future intended purpose. But in-house with civil engineers, individuals, IBL in our office, another architect, those are things that we can handle from the architecture and civil engineering side. But we had to team up with specialized structural engineers. We actually have 2 of them that work on new projects with us and other renovation projects. We didn't just reach out and pick a structural engineer just for this project. We worked with those 2 gentlemen for probably 15, 20 years. And then the 2 gentlemen on the bottom, bringing in a mechanical engineer, electrical engineer. They're from the firm EMA. They're kind of like our firm. They cover the state of Texas pretty well. They also bring expertise in evaluating projects just like this as well, from life use, expectancy, what's left, budgetary concerns, when's it going to die, when you get to replace that unit, things like that. They specialize in doing that. Next slide. And I mentioned we do specialize in renovation. I know these are just numbers on the screen, but to show that, in the past 5 years, we've done 22 renovation projects. Most of those started with a report just like this to help the municipality understand what needs to happen, a timeline when to make it happen, and help support for capital campaigns to ensure it could be funded properly. Next. The next couple of slides highlight some projects we mentioned in there. Up in Panola County, Texas, at their courthouse, we were hired to do a building survey. And the building is only, I say only, but it's a 70-year-old courthouse, has not reached its end of its life expectancy. With some TLC, which equates to about $3 million, the building can be completely renovated and probably last 70 more years. I'm trying to be a good steward of the county's money to ensure what needs to be done. They've already re-roofed the project based on our recommendations, and now we're doing phasing to renovate each floor by floor to ensure they can still use it, but also complete the task identified to be corrected. It had, that entrance you see right there is the main entrance to the building. It wasn't handicap accessible. So the first phase, we're making it accessible on the exterior with the ramp and doing some drainage issues to keep the water from coming in the building. But it takes that planning process to phase it to make sure it can be still used and correct the deficiencies.
And how long did you anticipate extending the life of that particular project?
I think with what they proposed and what they It had some serious envelope issues. There actually is no insulation in the exterior walls. So as they pump in new HVAC, it's going right through. I think what we're going to do, it can easily service the county for 50 to 70 more years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Next. In Nolanville, this was a little bit different but similar from a facility needs. The city manager hired us to their city hall, had some issues, ADA. It's paired with the police department, security concerns, too much ease of access getting in. So we had some ideas on how to fix that building. But she was also asking for help for capital funds. She's a little smaller city. She's really good at getting grants. So it reviewed existing community centers, the Boys and Girl Clubs, to help give her a roadmap to improve facilities she has, identify what needs to be done, and go tackle those grants to see how she can keep her facilities in operation. Next. And then for Texas Parks and Wildlife, this is actually their headquarters in Waco. That building is only 50 years, but it needs some serious TLC. Had a strange foam roof installed, not working as anticipated. Corrective measures need to be handled with that. It had a mold, hazardous material issues that need to be abated, and in our cost estimate to actually correct the building included the abatement process too. Really bad windows. Again, single pane, pumping in that HVAC you're paying for. The meter's spinning. It's not keeping you cold. It's not keeping you hot. Had some waterproofing issues as well. And electrical was severely, did not meet code, underserviced, and that was a major electrical project to redo the whole power to it and the meter and the electrical panels. Next. And as we look at buildings, this is a project we worked on up in Louisiana. That building is 110 years old. The state didn't know what to do with it, and we were hired, and we actually gutted the entire thing. But the shell was viable, each floor was viable, and for a $3.5 million project, a local university now uses it for their nursing school. So some people thought the best thing to do was tear it down and build a parking lot. Well, as an architect, we hate to do that. So It was not a historical building, but in the context of downtown, it's a very nice building. And it was great to see the state support that and bring it back to life. Next. As you can see, that picture in the bottom right, the first day I walked in the building looked like that. And the picture above it is the lobby, how it looks now. Next. And renovations all across the state, in the little city of Malakoff, their community center. An ADA person could not function in the building. So a lot of our renovation projects are tasked to tackle and define how to make the building fully ADA accessible. And obviously the bathrooms were in horrible condition, anyway from deferred maintenance, but an handicapped person couldn't even get in there to use the facility. So this project for about $150,000 brought the building completely up to code and now is used citywide. And again, a small community center in Harrison County. Same problems with accessibility, but you can see the bottom two pictures. First day we walked in, a little bit dated with the yellow and greens from the 60s and 70s. Again, much needed TLC, new kitchen being code compliant, accessibility, ventilation requirements, et cetera. But just needed a little bit of a love for about $260,000, and now it's rented almost every weekend. So, next. As we were involved with the city of Nolanville, unfortunately this project didn't happen, but she had tried to attempt to secure some grants. I heard earlier today about parks. They don't have that many in the town, and with this they were hoping to get a public park, bring in food trucks and things like that. Unfortunately, a bid right in the middle of COVID exceeded expectations cost-wise, but our relationship with doing that initial report led to an ongoing development of projects to help support the city. We touched on pricing was mentioned quite a bit of how to handle and phase the building moving forward, what needs a priority. And that triangle right there in our world always just remains scope, quality, budget. So you got to understand if you pull on one, something else changes. And it's something we do every day. We understand square foot, costs, how to prepare long term, short term. And that's ever present in our mind to make sure we keep communications open with you so you understand how best to use your money to keep your building in operation. Next. Again, sorry, a bunch of numbers on the page, but to address that concern about controlling costs, we have a really good track record of taking projects that we design and bid and being with our opinion of cost. We've only had one or two exceed expectations, but more often than not, we're usually about 5 or 10% under the budget. Next. And just as a sample, we do new construction as well. Just a sampling of our projects across Texas and Louisiana. New terminal buildings tied to our aviation department as well. But we find a way to plug in all our services to service all the clients for KSA. And I think that's about it.
In your estimation, in order to do the proper analysis, what kind of time frame are we looking at?
I think in the, but that was.
You did put phase one, that the facility assessment planning was 15 days, and then phase two, the on-site facility condition assessment was 20 days. Phase three, analysis of facility condition assessment was 30 days. And phase four, facility condition assessment report is 20-day task. And then for phase five, the presentation of assessment and deliverables, it says as coordinated based on schedule.
And it's about
more than 3 months.
It's about two. Well, about 2 months, because part of that fact finding initially would be, you know, what do you have in the building now? In this perfect world, if you had existing documents and it could be provided, that really helps the initial evaluation of the building. If not, there'll be a pre-visit probably before the actual walkthrough to tackle everything we do in accordance with the RFQs, or with the RFQ. So that first 15 days, and all these are budgetary, but I think in the big picture, two. If that's, you know, 8 to 10 weeks, that's kind of a rough guess of what it would be to tackle the whole scope.
Okay. So your assessment in include an evaluation of the both the cost and feasibility of installing solar collectors on the roof?
Yes, that we can do that.
Good.
Yes. That's going to go back again to needing those drawings, because technology's changed. PV panels are getting lighter, but again, needing to know what can that roof support.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we've retroed some additional structure when the PV panels were specific requirements. Maybe the array, if we're thinking it could be need to be this big to function the whole, supply the whole building, maybe the roof can only hold half of that. So mm-hmm. you may get into how much can be stored if we have batteries when it feeds back into it. But that's part of analysis to see what condition the roof is in and what it can support.
Great, thank you.
Go ahead, John.
Okay. So, going back to the timeline, are you expecting to spend 40 hours a week looking at this, or, and we're talking about quite a few days.
Yes.
So my assumption is that you're going to only spend a couple of hours per day, or so many hours per day. So in the total scheme of things, how many hours are you looking at?
Really didn't tackle it that way, because I would kind of enter into a fee negotiation, and we didn't want to kind of base anything based on a fee right this moment. But obviously, for like the initial fact-finding of 15 days, mm-hmm. if our existing drawings can be produced, we would send it throughout the team, have them review and ask questions. We'd get together and huddled up. So in that fact-finding, maybe actual, it's only 5 days, maybe. And then when we come on site, if we can do that, you know, I can say we'd probably be here for 2 or 3 days straight for the whole team. Then it's going back and evaluating, then see what we have, then generate the port. But you're actually right. Those aren't true everyday working, no.
Do we have a cost, roughly, that we're looking at, low side and high side?
I don't want to entertain any kind of a fee for it. I think just for qualification-based selections, I don't think I want to. I feel uncomfortable actually producing any kind of thoughts on a fee.
The difficult part is we're going into such an open-ended agreement that, you know, we're one company saying it should be around X.
Right.
And we don't know if it's going to be five times as much.
I think we negotiate with them after the fact. If they're the selection, we negotiate the fee with them afterward. So that's what makes it tricky, is we don't know, but the city's going to try and get it at the best price.
Sure.
Well, in fairness to them and to us, it's kind of hard to, it's kind of to David's point, if I'm reading between the lines, it's kind of hard for us to evaluate how we are going to factor in a cost if we don't have a cost. That is a, unfortunately for me, unfortunately for you, that's a major limitation.
Oh, understood.
And so.
Can you say what some other buildings similar cost for this part of the engine, the study?
No, because I haven't evaluated the building enough to make that accurate comparison at this point.
Well, let's ask it a different way then. A lot of the, can you go back to a couple of, the one of the slides, or did he take it back already? One of the slides, if you go back, there's a list of, yes, here you go. There's a list of how much the actual budget was. Based on what you were saying earlier, it appears to me that these budgets are based on what you actually completed, work that was actually completed, not just an assessment.
That's correct.
So what percentage of this budget would you say typically would be part of your assessment?
In the scope of if we were actually hired to do a complete project to renovate a building, mm-hmm. that first phase architecturally is called program completion. Mm-hmm. And that's typically about 5%. When we budget through AIA guidelines, program completion is 5% of the total fee.
Okay, so to kind of help you out a little bit more, if we were to say this is a X number square foot property of, we don't really know what the conditions are, that's because that's what we're asking you.
Right.
We know that it is age-wise so many years old. We know what the facility has been used for. Based on what we put out in RFP, could you give us a ballpark estimate of what a building that size could potentially cost, just in general, to update?
As a total, I mean, just for the assessment or the total renovation of the project?
Just for the assessment.
Okay. No, I'm going to get to that part next, but for the total renovation.
Okay. Well, what we're seeing with the influence of COVID, I mean, even new construction price, obviously all construction inflation's, everything's gone significantly higher. But as we approach new projects and a renovation cost, the early discussion is we should be budgeting anywhere from, to renovate a building, $250 to $350 a square foot.
Okay.
And that's an initial discussion.
1,000 square feet.
Now, I have a question. Do any of these projects correspond roughly to 12,000 square feet?
That's a good question.
What did he say?
No.
What was the one on the bottom was a full renovation of an 8,000 square foot building.
$250. I'm going to blow
it. But it had detention and security requirements, which,
$3 million.
You know, you start talking about security doors and technology. Yeah. That one's a little skewed because of the scope of the
building. $2,000.
So nothing in the 12 to 15,000 range?
No.
So would it be fair then to say that we got a 12,000 square foot building? If your cost, I'm going to take your low end, $250 a square foot. That looks to be about $3 million to renovate a building such as this. When I say renovate, we're talking about just your average renovation.
Sure.
Taking into consideration that we have to bring it up to code. So that should be part of the scope of work that you provide for us. So we're talking about a $3 million renovation in essence. And then it's 5% of that, because you said on average about 5% of that cost would be for the assessment. That's $150,000. Is that fair to say that some of these buildings have come into that typical range?
No, because to discuss further what your point and where you're going with it, mm-hmm. typically when we have a project, we provide a lump sum fee based on a percentage.
Okay.
So if the AE design services for a building of any one of those types, renovations tend to cost a little more. So if it was new construction, our fee could anywhere be from 5 to 8%. Renovations sometimes are 10 to 14%.
Oh, so it could be higher.
No, but then of that, that's the total project. Mm-hmm. Of that fee at 10 to 14%, 5% of that is the initial study and review for program completion.
Okay.
So it's not the full, like if a whole project was, you know, let's just say it was $1 million mm-hmm. and a 10% fee, that's $100,000. Of the $100,000 then is the around 5% for program completion.
Okay.
John,
where's your home office?
We have offices in Austin and all across Texas, and the home office is actually in Austin, Texas.
Well,
headquarters based in Lawton.
John, just a point of clarification for everybody to know. If you're selected and we go through the negotiation process, and your fee is just hypothetically, it's just too high, way too high, we can renege on that. Decision to go
we
with
can cut it off if it we starts looking too.
And that with having the qualification based selection, and you had another person here, you have firm A and firm B.
Yep.
You select on qualifications, you go into negotiations. If it's a personality disagreement, fees are just not what your expectations are, you go to B.
Okay. We just pay for what service is rendered to that point. We're not locked in.
Exactly.
Because you're winning on everything else, I believe. Your stats kind of a little confusing.
And we had noticed in there about, we have published firm hourly rates. We have this, we have that. It's even from our side, it's tough to evaluate and be truly forthcoming and honest of what is it going to cost. Mm-hmm. We need to know just a little bit more, and that's when we can get in there and negotiate and figure out for what's best for you, what makes sense for us. We can then provide a solid fee estimate.
I get it. I've done a lot of these.
I understand.
I totally understand what you're saying, but we have a document that we put out, and in that document, one of the ways in which we're going to assess you is looking at a cost.
Right.
And so that's why I'm trying to back in on the cost.
Understood.
To give you a fair shot.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, then I'm going to have to ding you pretty hard.
And in that same vein, though, when we pursue projects that fit in our wheelhouse and we know we're good at it and we know we're going to be an asset to you based on qualification base, we keep it above board like that, and we respect the intent of the law of the state not to discuss fees. And that's the difficult part.
Any other questions for KSA? Mrs. Gilman, any questions for KSA?
I do have one last clarification.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Mayor Pro Tem.
This is the last clarification. So when we were talking about the numbers, I said there was a $3 million building. And you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that you really have a 10% thereabouts of that $300,000 that you would be looking at. So that would be $3 million that you would look at. So that would be $300,000. And then the actual assessment fee or the fee that you would charge to assess the condition of the building would be 5% thereabouts.
The $300,000. Yes. Because if it was, when we do the evaluation for fees for the total design, we're not getting into the design. We're talking about that early stages, planning, programming, what needs to be done, and that fee assessment, and that's why it reduces that scope.
Okay.
But in our fee structure idea, that's how typically an architect calculates fees like that.
And so since I did the math with you guys already, that's about $15,000. And I'm not holding you to that.
Understood.
I'm trying to get to a number
right.
that can give me an idea as to how to best evaluate you.
But that's very difficult to do because Terracon, excuse me, never mind. I can't talk about them. Never mind. They do their pricing differently. It's not apples to apples.
I understand that. But regardless of how they do their pricing, they still gave us a dollar amount, whomever that is. They would give us a dollar amount, and they have given us a dollar amount. So whatever that dollar amount is, and the methodology that they use is something that we can evaluate, but we have to have something from them to, in my opinion, to fairly evaluate whether or not they are in the same ballpark. And if we don't have something to fairly evaluate, then that is going to be negative for you all, to be quite honest about it.
But like you could say it, Mayor said that the nice thing about it is if we start seeing it get crazy, we just pay for work.
Well, that's how it always works when it comes to negotiations. We don't have to negotiate to take a bad deal.
No, but what I'm saying is if we start seeing it's bad, we cut losses.
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's good.
But at least to have you sit down at the table.
Sorry,
you know. You need to have somewhere. At least that's the way I...
And I appreciate that, but for the same conversation you just said, there's the flip side of that too. I think what we're going to bring to you from past experience, understanding the process, and professional architects, engineers, that we do this every single day, there's a value to that. And then that's when we go to negotiate to see if we can come to an agreement.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of, as far as the deliverables are concerned, there are a lot of other factors that come in play.
Sure.
Cost is certainly just one part of that.
Yeah.
And so how we end up with the product that we're looking for is most important to me. But at the same time, you know, we're kind of stuck with what we put out as part of a public document and how we said we were going to evaluate you as an organization that responded to this document. And for me to give you a fair shot, if truth be told, I would have a hard time if I didn't back into that number. At least get somewhat of an idea of what your methodology would be to get to a cost for just the assessment of the building. Now, whether or not it turns out to be that exact dollar amount, it may not be. But it gives me something to work with in order to score you to give you a fair representation in this process.
Sure. If there's no other questions, bless you.
Yes, bless you.
Councilman. Thank you so much for that. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Must be springtime.
It's springtime.
All right, let's take a moment to score. And
so can we do not have any discussion amongst us?
Let me check.
We have an executive session, but not about this.
No, I just mean discussion amongst.
I think we score and we.
Thank you for coming in.
We're going to post them up here. So why don't we take a minute to score?
And I've already scored yours. Pass it around.
Yeah.
Can I get yours? Get yours. I'm not looking at them. I'm just passing them.
I know. I just started.
We were scoring my you talking. Sir.
Would you mind taking those down? Thank you. How did Councilmember Gilman?
Mr. Shaw, it looks kind of nervous when you go. You know, like they do in the casino.
Well, don't get into my sultry past.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Mr. Shaw.
Yes.
Welcome back. Mr. Grant delivered an incredible, incredible soliloquy earlier, opening statement. Just an amazing.
It was. We were awed by it.
I assumed he gave the invitation.
It lasted for 30 minutes.
Yeah. He also gave us a letter about all your history that you talked.
Instead of asking about the casino.
Standing ovation in the room. Yeah. It was incredible.
I expect no less. That's why I said that.
Yeah.
Not a dry eye in the house. Once everybody's turned in their score sheets, I'll move on to number 9.
I do not know how to do the cost. Are you doing the math? Okay. I'm going to.
Mrs. Gilman, can you hear me?
I got cough drops. You want some?
No.
Can you hear me, Mrs. Gilman?
Yeah. Bad throat. It sticks.
Janelle?
I wish you would.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I have put my score sheets in, so you have them.
Okay. Do you have them in front of you, Janelle?
Yes, sir. Janelle, I'm going to go get them, but we need you to
verbalize it.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Just hold them up.
Read it too quick.
Or read off which firms you're going to score which way. Also, go get your sheets, but that's how we were directed that we have to present the findings.
Present the findings. Do you mind doing that, Mrs. Gilman, for us? Do you mind verbalizing them when we get to that point?
15, 20, okay, you're good now.
You're good. I don't know if she can hear us.
I mean.
Question, are you guys gonna make a choice?
We're gonna put it up there.
Tonight?
Yes. You guys take your time.
Don't shock us. Don't
feel rushed.
She's done.
Score.
I just don't think I can answer.
I'm ready to get to the executive session. I've been drinking a lot of water.
What is the lowest number that can be seen?
We're all good.
Okay.
And so then,
do we have much else? Are they still deciding? Doing math.
I gave them some credit.
Right.
Never done it this way before.
New stuff.
It's new for everybody.
Can I ask a question? Yes, ma'am.
Huh?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
In the two presentations that we had, and I know everybody voted, but here's something that nobody brought up. In the Terracotta one, I don't remember them discussing any renovations, any actual projects that they did. Do we know that they do those types of things? And they didn't give us lists or pictures or anything like that, like to show us. They did a lot of technical information.
It's in there.
It's in your packet?
Yeah. Okay. Good question.
They also gave us references.
So we can sign those references for the kind of work that they do. Okay. So both are familiar with this
renovation? Oh, absolutely.
That's why we asked them both to come in, because they both have the experience.
Yeah, they do this work.
Last meeting, if one of them was less than the other, we wouldn't have asked them both to.
Okay, John.
We would have just picked one last meeting.
Just to make sure it's covered.
Right. Okay. So I can just create.
So we're still adding?
Okay.
I don't want to rush them. I think they're getting close.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so you asked the perfect question. Yes. And that's what I used to do.
That was the only way to do it.
Yeah. But it's not apples to apples, that's what I'm struggling with.
It's not apples to apples.
Just do as best you can.
That's the...
But this particular...
You're right, it's not... So...
I mean, no, it's got to be different.
That's what it...
You need no restroom. If we still have some...
Because it's tough to get some...
Are you done? Do you have any...
And that's why I'm going through the process of asking him, so I can get it on the record, that this is what they say with the process.
Thanks.
No, you have something to go with, and if someone were to challenge that, I'd say, hey, this is the record. The record can tell you why I can't work with that number and why I use that number.
Okay, I believe everybody has turned in their score sheets.
When we give this, when we provide our number, are we also allowed to share discussion of how we...
Item number 9 allows for some of that discussion.
Okay.
But, yes, ma'am, but where we're at right now is just doing the scoring. Mr. Nyland?
No, Mayor, I was just going to say.
Okay.
We're on 8 right now, and we're wanting to get to 9, discuss and consider action, the possibility of awarding, and we should have a score. And you don't hate to hear my voice like this.
Is somebody
going to
do that for the second?
That what? I also can hear very good.
Okay. Do we do that now or number 9? Number 9.
Oh, you will put it on the big board.
What kind of drink are we talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you, John.
Okay, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, I think so.
All right. Let's bio break. Okay. We can take a break. We can take a quick break. Yeah, that's fine. Let me close out item number 8. Then let's take a break just to get organized. We'll take a 3-minute break. Okay. I'm gonna recess for 5 minutes until 7:10 just to get us organized and to let some council members come back from the restroom. I'm closing the public meeting at 7.
You're recessing.
I'm recessing at 7:05. Thank you. Back into the open meeting at 7:12 p.m. Council, on number 8, that was an action item, so we do need to take action on the scoring that we did. So just to close out number 8, I'll entertain a motion to receive additional information from our two contractors.
So moved.
Moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Okay, we've already scored our sheets. We've turned those in. They've been tabulated. So we'll move on to item number 9, discussion and consider action to evaluate the proposals and possibly award a contract to KSA Engineers Incorporated or to Terracom, providers of professional services who responded to RFP number 24-01 for the facility condition and assessment and cost analysis on the old Woodway Family Center and authorizing the city manager to execute any documents in connection therewith. Motion to discuss, please.
So moved.
Moved and seconded. Thank you. All right. I guess let's go on. Let's get on with it. So Ms. Barclay is going to read out the scores, and Dr. Oubre will tabulate.
I'll start with the mayor. And so for Terracon, 70. want to go across to?
However you want to.
Yeah, we just did that way.
Yes.
Okay, so then for KSA, it was 77. Okay, and for Williams, tariff fund was 93. And KSA is 89. Russell, Terracon is 75. KSA is 100. Cook, Terracon is 96. KSA is 94. Event, Terracon is 70. KSA is 95. We're going to have Councilman Gilman work.
Have her up there by?
I slid her over there. I'm sorry, Donna.
Okay. Yeah, she's in there.
Okay, for Terracon, 65. KSA is 80. Houston, Terracon is 82. And KSA is 96.
Candy Say should have it.
So Terracon's total is 551. And KSA is 631.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Barkley. Thank you, Dr. Oubre. Council, those are the scores for the two professional services firms that we approved to evaluate. And you see the scores up there on the chart. Mitch, I'm just going to ask you to move back. So sorry, so I can see it. Any discussion or any questions on what you're looking at right there before we move on?
Well, I was just going to say that my scoring was greatly impacted by not having numbers to place in for the proposed fees and costs. So I think that this is a good method, except for that it does not feel like this is not apples to apples. And I think that both companies are offering very valuable offerings, but they're different, very different. And so it's hard to know how to move forward when you do have one number and you don't have the other. What I also think that I keep coming back to is what our KSA representative mentioned about it not being lawful to provide a number. So I'm also a little bit confused about that. But
so in an RFQ, which is what, and I walked on the tail end of that. In an RFQ, you pick the most qualified professional to perform the service and then negotiate price with that person.
Right.
So the idea is that on some things, what's best for the public is to pick the best firm or person for that specific thing.
Right.
And then see if you can negotiate a price that's reasonable. And then you move down your list. And so this is an RFP.
Yeah.
Which is similar. It's different from an RFB. I think we kind of hit on that at the last session. So the idea is to pick who you want to negotiate with, and then that will be the next phase of kind of where you go from here.
Okay, right. But what Councilman Williams had said earlier is one of our factors that we were grading on based on this sheet. So anyways, that's where I keep going back to is based on this criteria, one came out on top, but I don't, they're very different. Very different.
And then an RFP, you're bound by the criteria that you set out, because that's what you told the world. This is what we're going to evaluate on.
That's why I know. That's why I'm saying. Yeah.
So can you, counsel, can you clarify this whole legality thing again? I mean, because I didn't quite catch what you said as far as whether or not lawfully we can request someone to give us a price with regard to a RFP process.
That's probably a discussion best taken up in executive session.
Okay.
If we want to do that to consult, but okay. I'll tell you that this is where we are, and you determine who has the best proposal for the city and negotiate mm-hmm. from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So, but what I'm trying to say is then I almost feel like this proposed fee/cost should be eliminated.
This is what we told the world we would evaluate proposals on.
Okay.
So that's the criteria you use.
Okay.
Mayor?
Sir.
I found the call for proposal to be exceedingly complex.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found the Terracon proposal to be more complex than the alternative.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for that comment.
Great.
Anything else?
No.
Well, to kind of piggyback on what Councilmember Cook is saying, it was a little bit difficult for me with regard to the whole fee proposal thing as well. But I kept going back to what Council just alluded to, is we told the public this is how we're going to grade this. And for me, I wanted to be able to back into what that number could possibly be with some reasonable assurance from our presenter that this could be. Not that I'm holding them to the fire and said this is what it is, but this is the methodology that they've used, and so therefore I could have a number to work with to, in my opinion, give them a fair, have their proposal have a more fair representation. And so that's how I kind of looked at it. But overall, I think it was a good process. I think that the kinds of things that we were looking for are the types of things that you would typically see when you put out a request for a proposal and try to ascertain which company is going to do what and whether or not we believe that what they're saying on paper is something that they can actually deliver. I think they both did a good job, and I thank you all for your proposal. I think they both did a good job of representing themselves with regard to what their expertise is, the projects that they had done in the past. And those things were very close in my estimation. And so it just kind of boiled down to the whole cost factor for me.
Anybody else? Any further discussion? Okay. There being no further discussion, I'll entertain a motion on awarding the contract to either KSA Engineers or to Terracon.
I'd like to make a motion to award the contract to KSA Engineers for RFP number 2401 for the facility condition and assessment and cost analysis on the old Woodway Family Center, and authorizing city manager to execute any documents in connection there.
Before we go on, am I clear that we have a price? Do we have a price negotiated here? I'm a little bit confused where we are in the process.
Because you came in toward the end.
And it was not
right. Just to bring you up, we listened, we had an interview with both of them. We heard from both of them. We asked questions of both of them. They each came in one by one. We then scored our sheets to see who we would rank higher. We have a higher ranking service now, so we're going to award the contract to them and go into the next step.
Oh, no, we do not have a number.
The wording on the agenda, the wording on the agenda is to award a contract.
That was the question. Was I didn't know at the time we were posting whether there would be enough information to award a contract today. If you're saying that the next thing you want to do is
that's what we're posted for,
to possibly award a contract.
So would it, could it be that the motion is more about to enter into negotiations?
That's where I think it sounds like we are. Is that, am I?
Yes.
Well, that's, and I'll ask, it's not an option.
Is that?
No, but I didn't actually get to finish what I was hoping to say.
I know you didn't, but.
I was trying to cut it off before you got second.
Yeah,
I apologize.
But. bring it up to speed. So it's not worded in the agenda that way. We can still make a motion to do that.
Yeah, you can consider action. That's an action.
We can still enter into the, even if it's not.
Yeah.
Even if it's not posted that way?
No, yes, I think we're posted for that.
Okay. It would be nice. Okay. Mr. Interim City Manager just mentioned to me that we can ask him to enter into the fee negotiation with the contractor that we choose. Sorry, Mr. Keeston. This is the way it's worded in here, so I was just going to encourage you to do it that way, but we need to enter into a fee negotiation.
Well, that's fine. I mean, if we want to restructure this to say we enter into negotiations, we could even put a cap on it and say, hey, not to exceed $22,500. I don't know, pick a number. But you could do something like that.
Can we do that?
That would protect.
I think we're posted for that. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
So what are we doing right now?
Well, the next step is to make a motion on moving forward with KSA.
Okay.
But the next step is the fee negotiation. So we need to just, I think what I'm understanding is the motion needs to be entering into a fee negotiation with KSA. That's
with
the next motion.
With it not listed this away on the agenda.
Yeah.
Can we even do that?
I think we're fine for that. I think this posting was, I mean, when I was drafting it and as I read it, that was where I thought you were headed tonight, was right. To select.
Would you like me to restate my motion?
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to enter into negotiations for professional services in regards to RFP number 2401 with KSA for the facility condition and assessment and cost analysis on the old Woodway Family Center.
It's been moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded.
I second.
Okay.
Yeah, Janelle is second.
Okay. All right. It's been moved and seconded. Thank you. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, please say nay.
Aye.
Thank you. The ayes have it, and the motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much.
You got that
10 seconds. There is a delay, yeah. Janelle, there's a little bit of a delay, so I need to remember to wait for you. Sorry about that. KSA and Terracon, thank you very much. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for your willingness to respond to the proposal. Have a good night. All right, moving on to the consent agenda. These are items 10A through C. The consent agenda consists of non-controversial, routine, and budgeted items, which require no public hearing. The consent agenda is subject to being approved with a single motion. However, the mayor or any city council member may remove any item from the consent agenda for separate discussion and consideration. Mr. Interim City Manager, any comments on 10A through C?
Thank you, Mayor. Not unless anybody wants to pull any of them. They can go as is, but if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them.
I'm okay.
Yes, sir. He's fine. All right.
Thank you, Khalil.
Oh, my goodness. My pleasure. Goodness. Thanks, Keith.
We just need to get you a cape, Clem. Superman cape.
I'm trying to come here to relax.
Okay. All right. Didn't make any for A, but on 10B, basically this is going through the, well, we referenced the chapter, subchapter L of Texas Government Code, chapter 614.213C is what gives the council the ability, the legal authority, or the framework, the statute, to, because as we've recently covered, local government can't gift anything, so... But in this case, the way the statute's worded, and because of the totality of that environment, that is permissible and covered by our city attorney. And the last deal, this is the McLennan County 911 Emergency Assistance District Board of Managers nominations. I'm still getting acclimated to this area and figuring out what happens annually, semi-annually, biannually. This is an annual deal that is funded. It's a statewide 911 tax that funds the staff and director. The board is made up of local government employees, and our chief has blessed, has approved the two individuals that are currently serving and up for nomination again and wish to continue to serve. And that's a Mr. Ryan Holt and a Mr. James Devlin. So the action here would be to put them forward to serve on that board again.
Okay. Great. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Council, are there any items that you'd like removed from the consent agenda?
No. We're good.
Okay, there being none, we'll move on to number 11. Considering action on the consent agenda, I will entertain a motion on approving.
I'll make a motion to approve all the items on the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. I'll now call for the vote. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed, please say nay. The ayes have it, and the consent agenda is approved. Thank you very much. All right, item number 12 is our executive session. Notice is hereby given that a closed meeting will be held pursuant to section 551.087 of the Texas Government Code. One, to discuss or deliberate regarding commercial or financial information that the governmental body has received from a business prospect that the governmental body seeks to have locate, stay, or expand in or near the territory of the governmental body and with which the governmental body is conducting economic development negotiations. Or two, to deliberate the offer of a financial or other incentive to business prospect described by subdivision one. I'll close the public hearing, the public meeting at, I'll close the public meeting at 7:32 and enter into executive session.
Recess.
Recess for executive session. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Here. All right, council, reconvening and reopening the public meeting at 8:17 p.m. All right, item number 13 are the city manager's reports. So, Mr. Nylett, do you have any briefings or updates for us?
Thank you, Mayor. Just a few. If you get a chance during the daylight, go back and take a look at the construction that's happening back there. You can walk down the sidewalk and get a good look at them doing the seal coat, or not the technical term. They're repaving, resurfacing. It looks great. And that paving should be finished by the end of this week. The striping will come in Monday. They say it's a two-day job, but I'd say between Tuesday and Wednesday, hopefully. And then we have April 6th targeted for the grand opening of the building from 10 a.m. to noon. So
wonderful.
A little,
great.
Long time coming.
Yeah,
finally here.
So, and then outside of that, there's a planning and zoning meeting tomorrow. March 12th, 5 p.m., and there's an application for site development for the Badger Ranch area, what's it called?
Addition,
thank you, for a medical office. That's the only thing they have on there tomorrow. But that's what's around the corner. That's all I have for this evening.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Nylett.
Yes, sir.
All right, number 14, city council reports. Anybody have any reports or updates for us?
Well, I would have, but Adam covered all my tracks for me. So okay, thank you.
We gotta get our rhythm.
Yeah. Kudos.
Awesome. Janelle, do you have anything?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll move on to item number 15, which is consider action on adjournment. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
We are. You want to make sure to get that aye in there. Janelle, are you okay if we adjourn?
She went to sleep.
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Yes. Meeting adjourned at 8:19. Thank you all.